Welcome back to Intentional Bible Study with Morel. Today we're going to cover the last three churches that are talked about in the book of Revelation. Hope you guys have enjoyed this series. Today we're in Revelation chapter 3 and beginning at verse 1. And as always, going verse by verse, and it reads in verse 1, talking about the church in Sardis. It says, to the angel of the church in Sardis write, these are the words of him who holds the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know your deeds. You have a reputation of being alive, but you are dead. Amen. It said, you have a reputation of being alive, but you're dead. Verse 2 says, wake up, strengthen what remains and is about to die, for I have found your deeds unfinished in the sight of my God. The word of the Lord is saying, I have found your deeds, I found your action unfinished. The word unfinished, the Greek meaning unfinished, means undone. So your work is undone in the sight of my God. So you have been in the first verse. Verse 1 says, was talking about it, had you guys talking about the church of Sardis having a reputation of being alive, but you are dead. You know, you have a reputation of being known, being alive, but you are dead. And then verse 2, it talks about your deeds is unfinished, your action is undone in the sight of my God. Now verse 3 says, it says this, it says, remember therefore what you have received and heard, hold it fast and repent. But if you do not wake up, I will come like a thief, and you will not know at what time I will come to you. This is what the word of the Lord is saying to the church of Sardis, to the church in Sardis. Said, I will come like a thief. Now you understand, when the thief comes, most time a thief is not announcing that I'm about to come right now, so be ready. No, a thief comes when you're unprepared. Amen. So this is the word of the Lord, said, I will come like a thief, and you would not know at what time I will come to you. Verse 4 says, yet you have a few people. The Bible says this. It says, yet you have a few people in Sardis who have not soiled their clothes. Now, the word soiled just means dirty. In the Greek meaning, it means dirty. They haven't dirtied their clothes. This is what the word of the Lord is saying. It's saying that there's a few people in Sardis have not dirtied their clothes. Amen. I hope you're getting this. And the rest of the verse 4 says, they will walk with me dressed in white. The word of the Lord said, they will walk with me dressed in white, for they are worthy. Verse 5, the one who is victorious will, like them, be dressed in white. Now, I want to make sure when I did my research of the meaning of dressed in white, and what does the Bible kind of what does it mean when someone dressed in white means from the Bible, and from my research, it says the color of purity. That's what white stands for, the color of purity and righteousness, as well as joy, victory, and perfection. So when we look at verse 4, it says a few people in Sardis who have not dirtied their clothes, they have not soiled their clothes, which just means they have not dirtied their clothes, they will walk with me. This is the word of the Lord saying, these people will walk with me dressed in white, dressed in purity, dressed in righteousness. Amen. Dressed, for they are worthy, the word of the Lord said, for they are worthy. Verse 5 says, the one who is victorious will, like them, be dressed in white. I would never This is the word of the Lord says, I will never blot out the name of that person from the book of life, but will acknowledge that name before my Father and his angels. Now you got to get that part. He said, I will never blot. Then the word blot, the Greek meaning of blot means blot, spot, stain, blur, blemish, patch. You know, you blur something out, you blemish something out. You don't want nobody to see that no more. You put a stain through it. Now the English meaning a blot just means a dark mark or a stain, typically one made by an ink, paint, or dirt. Amen. So this is what the word of the Lord said. I would never blot out the name of that person. Amen. That didn't saw their clothes. This is what he's talking about for the people that was in Sardis, for the few people that was in Sardis church, in the church in Sardis. He said, I would not blot out their name. I won't blur their name out on the book of life. But he said, but will acknowledge that name before my Father and his angels. Amen. So we're talking to a few of the church in Sardis, talking to the people in Sardis. Amen. Let's look at verse 7. Now, verse 7, we're going to be covering the church in Philadelphia. The church in Philadelphia, verse 7. Let's read. To the angel of the church in the Philadelphia write, these are the words of him who is holy and true, who holds the key of David. What he opens, no one can shut, and what he shuts, no one can open. Now, let's read that little portion again. What he opens, no one can shut, and what he shuts, no one can open. Amen. Verse 8 says, I know your deeds. I know your action. Amen. Let's get the word. Deeds means action. I know your action. See, I have placed before you an open door. This is the word of the Lord. Said, I have placed before you an open door that no one can shut. I know you have little strength, yet you have kept my word and have not denied my name. The word of the Lord said, I know you have little strength. I know your deeds, but I have placed before you, talking to the church in Philadelphia, saying, I have placed an open door. Now, I wanted to get an understanding of open door, because we hear this a lot. Oh man, God got an open door for you. Now, from my research, what does an open door signify? From my research, an open door signifies as an open door has been a long time symbol of a new beginning. Amen. An open door is a symbol of a new beginning. You see the open door, you'll walk through the open door, a new beginning. And so the word of the Lord said in verse 8 says, I know your deeds. See, I have placed before you an open door, and that no one can shut. The word of the Lord said that no one can shut. I have opened this door that no one can shut. Now, I understand that that's people that probably said, I need an open door. I need a door that no one can shut. And you have to continue to keep believing God, even though you might be going through some things. What it says in verse, what it say the rest of the verse 8, it says, I know that you have little strength, talking about the church in Philadelphia, but yet you have kept my word. You have kept the word of Lord. Amen. Some of you are going through a lot of different things, and you have little strength, but you are keeping believing the word of God and have not denied his name. Amen. You have not denied his name. And I believe that there will be open doors, there will be new beginning in your life. Amen. You just got to believe and do not give up. Do not faint. Do not. Amen. Amen. Verse 9 says, I will make those who are of the synagogue of Satan, who claim to be Jews, though they are not, but are liars, I will make them come and fall down at your feet and acknowledge that I have loved you. Since you have kept my command to endure patiently, I will also, listen to this, I will also keep you from the hour of trial that is going to come on the whole world to test the inhabitants of the earth. He said, I will keep you in the hour of trial. I will keep you in the hour of that test that this whole world will go through. I will keep you because what? Because you didn't deny my name. You didn't deny my name. You kept my word. You didn't deny my name. You wasn't claiming to be Jews, though they are not, but are liars. You have kept my command. Amen. Talking to the church in Philadelphia. I will also keep you from the hour of trial that is going to do what? To come on the whole world to test the inhabitants of the earth. He said, I will keep you in that time. I will keep you in that test. Amen. I don't know about you, but I want to be kept. Amen. Amen. Verse 11. Let's just read verse 11. Then go to verse 12. It says, I am coming soon. Hold on to what you have so that no one will take your crown. Listen to it again. He said, I am coming soon. Hold on to what you have so that no one will take your crown. Don't let no one take your crown. Amen. Don't let no one take your crown. Amen. The one, verse 12 says, the one who is victorious, I will make a pillar in the temple of my God. Never again will they leave it. I will write on them the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the new Jerusalem, which is coming down out of heaven from my God. And I will also write on them my new name. Amen. All right, let's read verse 14. We're going to go to verse 14. And verse 14 is covering the church in Laodicea. So we just talked about first. We talked about the church in Sardis. And then we talked about the church in Philadelphia. So we got one more church to cover. And that is the church in Laodicea. Amen. And it reads in verse 14, it says this, to the angel of the church in Laodicea write, these are the words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the ruler of God's creation. I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were either one or the other. Now, this is the problem that Laodicea is having. Now, we got people, we know people probably that's having this problem in the Christian faith right now. They're neither hot, they're neither cold, they're just there. Amen. And this is what the word of the Lord says. I know your deeds, this verse 15 says, I know your deeds that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were either one or the other. So the word of the Lord said, I wish you was either one or the other. I wish you would just pick. So because you are lukewarm. Now, lukewarm, I break down lukewarm in this way. This is how I break down lukewarm. Lukewarm is somewhat like you're playing in the middle of the ground, not hot, not nor cold. You're playing in the middle ground. You're not hot, you're not cold. You're just playing in the middle. That's where you at. And that's where some people are in their faith. They're just playing in the middle. They go to church, but they don't really believe what the pastor says. They don't believe the word of the Lord. They just go there because it seems like a great event or something to them. Or maybe there's some free food. Then they're not hot, they're not cold. They just go there They just go to church and they don't worship. They just go there for a social experiment, to meet people, to network. And man, they're not going for the right reason. They're just in the middle. Oh yes, I go to church, but are you a Christian? No, not really. I'm religious. Amen. Let me keep going on. The rest of the part says, neither hot nor cold. This is verse 16. It says, I am about to spit you out of my mouth. This is the word the Lord said. I am about to spit you out of my mouth. You say, I am rich, I have acquired wealth, and do not need a thing. There are people like this everywhere, especially when they have money. When people, and I don't have nothing against people that have money. It's a blessing to have money. It's a blessing to be wealthy, rich. We all should be wealthy. Amen. If we're a Christian, we all should be wealthy. Amen. Go read your Bible and see what it says about that. Amen. But you say, I am rich, I have acquired wealth, and do not need a thing. But you do not realize that you are what? The next part of the scripture says, but you do not realize that you are wretched. Now, the word wretched, the Greek meaning of wretched, means miserable. So you're miserable with your wealth. You're miserable with that riches. Amen. I've heard people share that story, and they have, allegedly, they have hundreds of millions of dollars, but they don't have peace. They can't even sleep at night. They can't buy sleep. They have to do activities to stay awake because they don't have peace. Amen. And this is what's happening. People have wealth and they feel like they don't need a thing. But the word of the Lord said, but you do not realize that you are wretched. You're miserable, actually. The rest of the scripture says pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. This is who you are. You're lukewarm. Oh yeah, you think you got money. Oh, you think you, oh, I have acquired wealth. I've built real estate portfolio so big. But actually, and I'm not saying anybody has a real estate portfolio is that something wrong with you. No. But if you're thinking that your wealth is everything and your wealth makes you righteous, you're wrong. Amen. If you're thinking your wealth makes you righteousness, you're wrong. Amen. Even if you're a big donation or whatever, you get a big donation to your church and you get a big donation to people in the foreign countries, you give a lot of money away. Does not mean your righteousness. Amen. It is a heart thing, it's a living thing. Amen. Your heart must be right with God. Amen. Amen. Verse 18 says, I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire so you can become rich, and white clothes to wear so you can cover your shameful nakedness, and salt to put on your eyes so you can see. Verse 19, those whom I love, the word of the Lord says, those whom I love, I rebuke and discipline. And then the word rebuke means the Bible mean of rebuke means to reprimand, strongly warn, and restrain. Strongly warn and restrain. And discipline, the meaning of discipline is to punish or penalize. So the word of the Lord is saying, those whom I love, I strongly warn and punish or penalize them. Amen. That's what he's saying in that verse right there. Those who I love, I rebuke and discipline. But he's saying those who I love, I strongly warn them. I restrain them. I punish or penalize them. So be earnest and repent. Verse 20 says, here I am, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, a open door. Amen. We just talked about that earlier. hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in. This is the word of the Lord said, I will come in and eat with that person and they with me. To the one, verse 21, we got one more verse after this and we'll be done. To the one who is victorious, I will give the right to sit with me on my throne. To the one who is victorious, I will give the right to sit with me on my throne, just as I was victorious and sat down with my Father on his throne. Verse 22 says, this is the last scripture. And matter of fact, verse 22, in every part of the churches that we talked about, they always say this at the end. Whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Whoever has ears, amen. Whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit is saying, not what the flesh is saying, what the Spirit is saying, says to the churches. Amen. Amen. I hope you guys enjoyed this topic, the last three churches in Revelation. But I hope you enjoyed this series as we cover the seven different churches in Revelation. If you haven't heard the other part, I would encourage you to go listen to all different parts of that we did on the study on the seven churches. Amen. I hope it encouraged you. But that's all I got, you guys. God bless you. See you at the next Bible study. Remember, be intentional, live intentional, and stay intentional. Go and be the church. God bless.